thing on Neil's.
Blog Talk Radio.
But just some of the headlines for you. And it is an absolutely crazy deal that has been put together with Iran, where they're working on a deal. And some of the facts of the deal are, it looks like it could be making an allowance for them to create their own bomb, to do so at a very deep level, and that some of the claims that they are doing this, according to one person who's commenting, a defector from Iran, U.S. negotiating team, mainly there to speak on Iran's behalf. And there is just absolute chaos in that. I really don't even know what to tell you about that. I've got another story here that I wanted to get into, and we'll get into it at the second hour, but it is on SSR medicine. It is serotonin replacement. And we believe that the pilot of the drone was on serotonin replacement therapy and this medication, Paxilet type of thing, that has had a track record of violent outbursts associated with it. And it, according to a lot of people, not only doesn't work, but makes people violent. And so there's been a number of these people who've gone on these shooting sprees have been under the care of a psychiatrist. So that is also something that I've got a number of clips on. And we've got your NCAAs. And so on that particular one, I'm trying to find a little bit here for you. Michigan State beats Louisville 76-70. Duke over Gonzaga. Is that makes any sense? And let's see what the bracket looks like here. I don't know if I was reading the men's or the women's bracket, but all right. So, but anyway, you've got Kentucky barely taking out Notre Dame, Michigan State taking out Louisville 76-70, Gonzaga beaten by Duke 76-52, Wisconsin taking out Arizona. So there's your final four. And all right, so let me get a few headlines for you. Martin O'Malley is trying to take the place of Hillary Clinton, obviously. Google, they say, has the biggest impact on the Obama presidency or their as any group. According to one paper, Google is controlling what we buy, the news we read, and Obama's policies. And there was an explosion in New York City, and they're still finding bodies over there. Documentarian is giving two thumbs up to the Scientology movie that's coming out, Coming Clear, whatever it was called. And Mark Rubio getting ready to run for the presidency. And Guterres, Representative Guterres, giving an immigrant toolkit. Think about that. You've got somebody who's working for the government who's giving out instructions and a toolkit to stay in America illegally. The card that is included in it says, "Do not deport me." And obviously, do not report me either. Thousands of unaccompanied children are now crossing the border now that the weather's a little bit nicer. And so it is absolutely just going to be chaos on the border as more of these people come across. I mentioned to you that the pilot in that crash was a psychiatric patient who claimed he would go out in a gigantic big gesture, which he did. And see if there's anything else here. MSNBC is in free fall, but you've known that for a while. They made $500 million last year, not through advertising so much as the deals with cable. So they say there's no reason for them to change. And we've got these urban warriors now. We've got military people in special forces that are infiltrating the Southwest. So it could be here in our own neighborhood, although it's supposed to be in Arizona and places like Texas. But got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Tom. I was just going to mention that to you, Operation Jade Helm.
Yeah.
It's called. Yeah, they're going to be doing that to us pretty soon here.
So what is...
Looking forward to that.
You know what the idea behind it is?
Yeah, to see if they can infiltrate the American citizens. They want us to be able to catch them doing stuff and turn them in, I heard. That's the gist of about what I'm getting of it. They're going to be parachuting in and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's... very strange, in my opinion, but
somebody's going to get hurt.
Well, I don't know. You know, I have no idea what's going to happen. But anyway, it's just a little bit disconcerting. There was an ancient rule in Rome that no standing army would come into Rome, and I think it's always been part of the American thing is that we don't have armies marching around inside America. We do have training here, obviously, and they're going to say this is training, so you think this is a sign of worse things to come?
I think they have 5 billion hollow point bullets for some reason.
Well, it was my impression that the reason that they bought those bullets is so that they could block, and they can't get rid of guns, but they can get rid of ammo. If they buy up every round of ammo for the next few years, then people can't get the ammunition. That was my impression.
I heard something was going on in Fort Lauderdale, too, that they were doing some testing down there.
Yeah.
And they were Black Hawk helicopters, and they were, like, herding people around and moving them around. I'm not sure how true that is. I saw some of it on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm just trying to go through here. There's not a lot of official... There's this guy named Dabu that Mike mentioned that has put up about 10 different videos on this, but there's not a lot of, there's not a lot of official, there's not, you know, CNN, ABC clips in here. So I don't want to just put up somebody's homemade clip, but anyway, Tom, was there anything else? In your opinion, are they about to, America's military about to attack America? Is that what you think is going to happen?
No, I think they're testing us to see how far they can go with this. I think they want to find out our weaknesses. And because they called like Texas hostile and Utah hostile, they marked them off in red. And they have the states like California marked in blue. They actually have them. Did you see the map yet, Kelly?
Yep.
They actually consider them hostile territory.
Well,
so it's kind of scary what they're doing.
Yeah, pardon me. Okay, Tom, anything else?
No, go ahead with your show. I'll talk to you later.
No, that's you're part of the show. Thank you. Thanks for calling. All right, folks. I'll have to find a little clip on this for you. But anyway, we're going to take a little break here, but come back and talk to Neil Hooks and. He had a reaction to something that was in the newspaper that he called me up and said, what do you think about this? And I said, hey, man, it sounds like a great topic. So coming on to talk about something that is hitting home from the Sun News. Here is Alan Jackson. He stopped loving her today at George Jones' funeral. There's a transition for you. Listening to the greatest country stars in history this month. We'll be right back. 523-1450 to call in. Kelly O'Connell Show at 6:16. And see here. Well, I'll come back and give you a little bit of temperature.
He said, I'll love you till I die. She told him you'll forget time. as the years went slowly by. She still prayed upon my
Yeah, so you followed that wreck with that guy?
The
that guy was
Wings thing.
That guy was sort of pumping bottles.
What is that?
Yeah. You know,
sure.
Clip over the weekend that it claims that the Catholic Church is involved in sodomy smuggling.
In hostile Texas. It will involve the Green Berets, the Navy SEALs, and the 82nd Airborne. The Houston Chronicle is reporting that these soldiers will attempt to blend in with the population here.
Maybe you didn't contact.
Kelly here, and I've got Neil Hooks with me, and we've been talking off the air, and I asked him if Neil would help me do a little bit of analysis here on this story. So let's talk a little bit about the German Wings situation, where I don't know how much you followed it, but I know that you were a fighter pilot in the you were in the Air Force.
Teens and F-18s and some older jets.
All right. So here is a little bit of the story that I desperately wanted to get on the air because I think it's so important. There's medication out there, and I don't know if you guys remember a couple of years ago, I brought a guy on who'd written a couple of books on how dangerous psychiatric medication had turned out to be and all of the fact that there's a lot of side effects, and number two, that it doesn't really solve the issue. So here is something from ABC. Andreas Lubitz may have been too sick for work.
New development.
And hold on a second here. Here we go.
In the case of that down jet, the co-pilot locking the captain out, flying straight into a mountain. Tonight, what we've just learned about him and this new image of him running in Germany, part of his flight training right here in the U.S., investigators now finding clues in his home, prescriptions, a note from his doctor saying he was too sick to work. At the crash site tonight, the remains of the victims being lifted out, an American flag honoring the three American victims. And tonight we now learn about his girlfriend and his mysterious hiatus during flight training. We do have team coverage again tonight. ABC's chief foreign correspondent, Terry Moran, where evidence has been hauled away in Germany.
He was an avid runner, the picture of health and youth. But investigators now say Andreas Lubitz had a secret that turned homicidal. They are scrutinizing his last 24 hours. The day of the crash, Lubitz left his apartment in Dusseldorf. Neighbors say he shared it with a girlfriend. You see those two names on the buzzer. He went to the airport in the morning, flew to Barcelona in the same plane he would later crash on the return flight over those same mountains. Tonight, police searching that apartment again after their bombshell find last night. A torn-up note from a doctor determining that on the day of the crash, Lubitz was too sick to work and prescriptions for medications also trashed.
All right. So, and that's from ABC News. Now, here is from CNN. Antidepressants. All right. The case builds a little bit. What was this guy going through? They said he had a psychosomatic disease. Psychosomatic means self-suggested. And he was dealing with depression. When people deal with depression, they give them SSRI medication. But here's a little bit from CNN.
Well, I know that you have new information coming out about what investigators have found inside Andreas Lubitz's apartment. What can you tell us?
Yeah, there are several reports that are coming out right now, Poppy. A prominent German newspaper here, Welt am Sonntag, coming out with a startling revelation that investigators found evidence of severe psychological problems, including medications to treat those psychological problems in the apartment of the 27-year-old co-pilot Andreas Lubitz. Now, specifically, according to the New York Times, these were antidepressant medications. And we saw yesterday when we were out at the apartment, investigators on several occasions going in, gathering evidence and coming back out. Apparently, those investigators or people close to the investigation are leaking information to these newspapers because officially this information has not been released. But the discovery of prescription drugs, possibly antidepressants in this apartment, of course, is significant because it continues to build this case that this young man, this co-pilot, was suffering from a mental instability, was being treated, according to the newspaper, by neurologists, by psychologists, and perhaps that may also have something to do with the medical documents that were found ripped up and thrown in the trash can in his apartment, information that apparently Lubitz was hiding from his employer, Lufthansa. Pop.
Okay, so in Germany, a doctor cannot share, kind of like we have the HIPAA laws, a doctor cannot share in Germany. For example, this guy was too sick to work. He's too sick to fly. In spite of that, he was able to fly because the doctor was not able to share it with the airline. All right, now we'll start to put these pieces together. You have a guy that has a psychological illness of some kind. He's depressed. He's got psychosomatic problems. And they say that he may have been losing his vision. His dream of being a major airline pilot is going down the toilet. Now, here's something from Fox News. The next piece of the puzzle. What's the next piece? SSRI, anti-depression medication. It is serotonin blockers, and they have been linked to violence. Now, does everybody who takes them become violent? No, because then they wouldn't use the medication. But enough of them have become violent as to create this a trail in which, you know, a lot of these people who go on these shooting sprees are under the care of a psychiatrist, are on these type of medications. Now, here's from Fox News.
So the other question is, could it have been a side effect of medication? Hmm. Was he taking a medication? Did something happen? This is one thing that I don't hear anyone discussing, a very strong possibility. Could this be for a medical or psychological condition that he was taking a medication and had a sudden side effect? These things do occur.
A side effect that would make you deliberately lock a door and try and complain?
Well, we like to think no, but there are some antipsychotic medications that actually can enhance psychosis. Right. I'd like to think not, but it is a possibility.
Not only is it a possibility, but from my investigation of these things, I have to conclude it's more than just a possibility. I would think that the problems that they've had, and I'm going to play it for you later when Neil is after Neil is taken off. I'm going to get back into this, but just to let you know that there's a strong connection there. We have a phone call here. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. It's Mike.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Kelly. I think a lot of these doctors, they hand out these things like candy. I mean, you go to some of these doctor's offices, I don't know what their incentive is to put people on medication. You know, they probably get kickbacks from the pharmaceutical companies and free vacations. But there's a doctor in town here. I used to go to him. He had like a clock on his wall, and it said like Zoloft, you know.
Uh-huh.
They look at his notepads, and it's got every antidepressant listed on it. You know, it's like these guys are just promoted, these doctors. They're like witch doctors. You know, and they're just, I've seen people that have been on five different antidepressants. five.
Yeah.
And you don't know whether they're,
today,
you know,
like,
how they're reacting to each other.
Yeah, and I mean, I've got clips of people that, I've got a clip of a guy who took one pill. He'd not been able to sleep for most of his life, only about 4 hours a night, and he was finally given a Lexapro, and he said after one pill, he woke up with totally bizarre symptoms. He felt like he was going insane. His life has never been the same again. And so what these things do, and I've got a clip that'll explain it, but they block the serotonin. But what we're doing here is we're trying to treat profound or deep problems with superficial remedies. I mean, what we call materialism, the idea that we're just, you know, lumps of clay with a little bit of chemical and activity going on, and then you throw a pill in there to fix everything. Hold on one second, Mike. This is the Kelly O'Connell Show. I'll be right back. But anyway, Mike, I think you're exactly right. What is happening is Big Pharma is selling this stuff. The doctors don't have any special understanding of it, and they're giving into it because they think it's well-tested.
Couldn't have said it better, Kelly.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Anything else?
That's it. Have a nice day.
Hey, give a big kiss to those pooches. Thanks. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
It's Patty.
Yeah.
It's Patty.
Briefly, what's going on?
Oh, okay. Well, then I can't say briefly. I have to say I've been ill. Okay, not mentally ill. They try to put you on those drugs. And I'm telling you what, too many people in this town, Kelly. If nobody wants to hear it anyway, it's brief. I don't have it briefly. I have something
Patty,
to say.
Patty,
it's not important though.
Patty, I'm not trying to cut you off. I'm just. Anyway, citizen journalist Patty O'Reilly. Sorry, Patty, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I'm just running out of time for my break. All right, we're going to come back and talk to Neil about two things. Number one, his impression of what happened in Germany, a little bit of that. And then we're going to tear into this story that really got under some people's skin and in the newspaper. But call back, Patty. We'll talk about it. Here's a little more Alan Jackson and Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. We'll be right back with Neil Hooks.
Kept her picture on his wall. Went half crazy now and then. But he still loved her through it all. Hoping she'd come back again.
It's Kelly here. Good morning to you. And talking about something that has already gotten a reaction from the crowd. And here we've got another call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, really quick, I just wanted to say, these doctors are worse than Gutierrez handing out immigrant toolkits.
Good point, man. Thank you, Mike. Have a good one. All right. So Neil, now, you said something to me off the air that this kid had an absurdly low number of hours. I said it was 600, and you kind of laughed. But it's on a discount carrier, so we expect less out of discount carriers.
I guess so, but you still have the same risk of flying a jumbo jet and, you know, hundreds of passengers in it. It's unheard of that someone could have a combination of as few hours as this German Wings pilot had, just a little over 600, which you can't even get your ATP, which is your main rating, if you will, to even for the major airlines to even think about you here in the United States. But he had so few hours, and he had a medical history that would kick anybody out of pilot training. So,
but he's in a, you know, they've got these some of the stuff going on in Europe is pretty crazy, and one of the things they've got there. How do you allow a block on medical history? I mean, what if the guy was a full-fledged schizophrenic? I guess that there would be no difference in the outcome in this case, but I mean, are you telling me that there's no obligation for the safety of the public from the medical profession in Germany?
I'm sure there's going to be, as a result of this investigation, I'm sure there's going to be huge changes.
There's
in the
changes
way they look
already in the doors. They're changing the doors now, and they said the last thing that you could hear was the pilot, who was the guy with the experience, had taken the fire axe and was chopping the door down as the plane went into the ground.
Wow. Yeah, maybe both the pilots should have a key or something, or a combination. I don't know. But regardless, they should have some sort of way of looking at the pilot's medical background. This is a safety issue. This is not a privacy issue. Maybe between the airline and the pilot, it could be a privacy issue, obviously. Yeah. Can't get out to the general public, but the airline should be privy to that stuff, obviously.
Yeah, all right. So let's switch gears a little here. I'm gonna continue on into the story in the second hour, because I know people are interested in it. But all right, so you called me up about an article. What did you and it was an article that came out and in the Sun News. What did you want to talk about?
Yeah, last Thursday it was about economic systems. Which economic system would Jesus recommend or Jesus prefer, if you will? Was Jesus a capitalist or a socialist, essentially? This is mainly in response to a letter that one of the county commissioners here wrote about recently. He wrote about social justice. A lot of letters recently on social justice. And
how do you define social justice?
Social justice is just a kind of a code word for socialism, essentially. Let's have the government basically redistribute all the prosperity to people equally. Everybody has, and thus there's social justice.
You know, it's funny. A lot of these really important terms in leftism and in socialist movement have no hard definition. I've noticed this.
Yeah, well, you change the labeling, so it's a little bit easier to take.
Well, here's one example: living wage. There is no, and I've searched for it, and it's admitted in the literature. There is no actual definition for living wage, so people will, you know, spend their lives fighting for something that you cannot define.
Yeah,
which I mean, it would be more interesting if it was love or something like that, but you know.
You know, we spend our lives fighting against stuff we can't fight against either, by the way. I mean, even the Bible says, Jesus says, the poor you will always have with you. Ironically, we've spent, 10, $15 trillion since the war on poverty.
Before the war on poverty, you have to go all the way back to Wilson to get the seeds of the Great Society.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was finally put into full-fledged practice, though, with the war on poverty, though.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. And so there is this kind of manic desire. This is one of the strange things to me, and I haven't heard the left talk about it because I don't think there's a lot of self-knowledge of these things, but the left long ago decided it was going to try to replicate the church but pull God out. So there's this manic movement to try to bring charity to the earth, but they do it in an, I guess what you would say, an ungodly way.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I mean, the left tries to use the Bible often, which is what this county commissioner did. He used, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, where it says, do unto others as you would do unto them. He used Micah 6, verse 8, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Of course, he left the God part out of his quote, by the way. But anyway, he's using the Bible to justify social justice, i.e. socialism. And so I decided to write an article on what are the principles that the Bible gives us as to which economic system we should use. And I think the Bible gives us plenty of clues as to which economic system
we should use. All right, so give us a little outline of this.
Well, the outline is there's several things that you could point to, but I think the three main ones are human nature, individual responsibility, and freedom. Human nature is the biggest one, by the way. If you don't recognize man's condition, if you think that we are naturally sinful or naturally good, it will have a profound effect on your policy.
Give me an example.
Well, the Soviet Union, under communism, which is one form of socialism, their economic tool they used was socialism, believes that there is no God and that man is naturally good. And therefore, we can have an economic system that says everyone will be happy to work as hard as they can, but not make as much as they deserve. In other words, they'll be happy to work as hard as they can, produce as much as they can, but all the money that they make, the profits, the wealth that they create will be taken away from them except what they absolutely need and distributed amongst the masses.
And the foundation of this particular idea, one of them is that Marx said that people should be paid for the amount of time they put into something, time and effort, and not the outcome.
Well, Marx said that to each according to his need, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. But the problem
that's
is...
That's the outcome, but Marx actually thought people should be paid for the amount of time that they put into something. But the problem with that is that one person is a lot more efficient than another.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not all the same. That's one of the issues. However, with a system that assumes, has a wrong foundation, an incorrect foundation of human nature, is doomed to fail. And that's why socialism never works long term.
So do you have an example of that? Like an example of where they've assumed the wrong thing about human nature? I have one, is that, you know, if you set up a system where there people can get welfare if they say that they need it, if they're not working, they say I need welfare. If the state doesn't put any interest into whether they can or can't work, it's going to be a total disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of examples like that in society. But that's the first point. If you don't start with the correct foundation of human nature, you're pretty much doomed to failure. And that's what capitalism does. Capitalism recognizes that humans need an incentive to work hard. So that's the first thing. Second thing is individual responsibility. The Bible preaches individual responsibility. You're responsible for your own sin. You're responsible for your own outcome. This is even applicable in Scripture with regard to your provision. I think it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It says, if you don't work, you don't eat.
Paul.
Yeah, very good. 2 Thessalonians. So if you don't work, you're not going to eat. If you notice, the mandate is not if you don't work or you need to work so that everybody else can eat. The mandate is that you need to work so that you can eat. You're responsible for yourself, basically. And I'm not saying you're not supposed to care about anybody else. The Bible is very clear that we are to care for our neighbors. As a matter of fact, with regard to the poor, this is another important biblical concept, I believe, that people don't quite understand. And on the left, they abuse it. We're supposed to take care of the poor. However, we're supposed to take care of those who cannot take care of themselves. And it is to be a free will offering when you give to the poor, not forced through the government.
Yeah, and it is the classic group is widows and orphans and handicapped people.
Yeah, exactly.
Folks, we're talking to Neil Hooks here, and I'll take you out with a little Alan Jackson. We're going to a break, but we're going to dig into this puppy a little bit more. 523-1450 to call in Kelly O'Connell Show. We're talking about an article that Wayne Hancock wrote. It is called Social Justice Essential to a Civilized Society, 2/22/2015. And funny enough, I spent about a year researching and writing an article on ancient charities, so I've actually spent a little time thinking about it. Folks, we'll be right back, 523-1450 to call in.
Yep, some letters by
It's Kelly here, and I've got Neil Hooks here, and Neil wrote a response to Wayne Hancock's piece called Social Justice Essential to a Civilized Society. Let me ask you this, Neil. Do you think it's appropriate for public officials to cite the Bible like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let me ask you this. Do you think he's representing, for the sake of the argument, what the Bible teaches?
No, absolutely not. I think it's a superficial view, and this is the problem that I see on the left. The left believes that they have some – first of all, the left is a little ignorant of what the Scripture really teaches. They take a superficial teaching in Scripture about the poor and try to apply it to their worldview, try to apply it to their ideology, and it just doesn't work.
Kind of reminds me of this guy, Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins has become a god of atheism, and he's out of Cambridge or whatever, and he's a biologist and Darwinian and everything. But if you read his stuff, that's not biological, his philosophical and religious comments are totally ignorant. I'm like, don't they have like a proofreader at where this guy publishes that would at least challenge him a little bit?
Yeah. Well, look, the biggest problem is a misunderstanding of Scripture and a misuse of Scripture. For example, in my column, I write about the poor. You know, we should care about the poor. But the two distinctions that need to be made with regard to how the left looks at it is that you need to take care of those who can't care themselves. Our welfare rolls today, we spend billions and we waste billions and billions on trying to help, given money and benefits to those who can still work. And I think that's anti-productive. That's not helping the individual. I think that actually causes problems for the individual.
All right, let's get to the nuts and bolts. Can you stay over into the next hour?
Sure.
All right, so we're talking to Neil Hooks here. Neil, I want to get down to something that I think is fundamental here. What is his claim and what is your answer? And the reason I want to get down to this is I think that there is a lot of this thinking in this community, let alone the United States, and it's the reason that they're going after the recall of the city councilors. It's the reason that Ben Rossin comes on once a week and criticizes the county commission, because they're upset that there's – look, I mean, I read this article by this guy, and it reminds me of being at the university and some of the stuff that I had to endure in these classes just to get a grade, you know? So let's take a break right here and come back, and I'd like you to sum up the one side in your answer, and then let's in the next hour develop a little bit how you got your convictions for this stuff.
Sure.
All right, so we'll be right back, folks. 523-1450 to call in. We're talking about an article by Wayne Hancock. He's a county commissioner with enormous power, and Neil Hooks, who's a private citizen, just trying to fight back for the truth. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Kelly, this is Bill.
Hey, what's up, man?
I'd like to make a little comment. I had a conversation with a friend of mine a couple of days ago, an old Navy retired pilot, older than us, and he had a very interesting observation.
Bill, we're on in about 20 seconds. Can you hold off?
Okay, sure.
Is this about economics or about the crash?
No, it's about economics.
Oh, okay. All right, here we go, Bill. Hold on.
Okay.
O'Connell and AM Las Cruces on KOBE.
Folks, 6:53, Kelly O'Connell Show, and I've got Bill on the line. And Bill is going to make a comment. He was having a conversation with a friend, an old pilot, and having to do with economics. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah. I was talking to an old friend of mine. He's a retired Navy pilot. And he said, the only thing the American people wanted was to be left alone and be free. And he said, in the first 120 years or so, we were. And we went from being a non-nation to the most powerful nation
on Earth, both militarily and economically. Then we started instituting all of these social policies under the Wilson administration. And it has progressively got more and more and more. And we have gone from being a top creditor nation to a top debtor nation. Up the ladder and down in 200 years.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul's a Korean era Navy guy. Anyway, I just wanted to throw in my two cents.
Well, appreciate
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Have a good day. All right, so anyway, let's sum up the side of the Wayne Hancocks. How would you sum up what he stands for, his article, his ideas?
Well, first of all, good intentions. So I'm not criticizing him for who he is and what he believes. I'm just but the good intentions are not enough. Wayne Hancock, the likes of Wayne Hancock and this type of belief is pie in the sky. It's because it's doesn't take human nature into consideration. It's I wish people were like this. And if people were like this, then we would all get along. We'd all help each other. No one would suffer. There'd be no suffering in the world. It simply does not work like that. You have to look at reality. He used biblical verses. I use biblical verses. And the reality of the situation, the Bible teaches us the reality of human nature and what our responsibility is and what is best for economics.
I have a problem with people who want a separation between church and state and then drag the Bible out when they think it supports their ideas. And the king or queen of that is Nancy Pelosi. And just the kind of ignorance. If we're going to run our government off of biblical ideals, which in some sense we try to do because of the golden rule, and let's go ahead and do it. And I'm not talking about a theocracy, but let's get serious about it. And that's what you're talking about, your response.
Absolutely. I mean, we were founded on biblical principles. And I think the left kind of hypocritically uses them when they want to, and there's definitely a double standard out there. For example, in the paper today, there's a couple sound-offs that basically say, hey, why wasn't Neil Hooks's article in the religion section? Well, I didn't hear any of that or see any of that after Wayne Hancock wrote his letter about social justice and biblical values.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's this sense that these socialists or these leftists, I don't know what Wayne Hancock defines himself as, but I can guarantee you whatever it is, it's different when he talks about it privately than in public. But there's this sense that the people in the left are so much farther advanced intellectually, they don't even really need to interact with the other side. And I think that's tragic because it keeps us from having a debate over very serious issues.
Absolutely. When we come back, it'd be nice if we could talk about the focus on the poor and the misunderstanding that the left has about the right's ideas about economics.
Yeah, okay. And this is Kelly here. And let's see if I've got I'm going to give you a little bit of comedy, Jeff Allen, a little levity. We'll be right back. Take you off the break in the hour with this. Here's Jeff Allen on underwear.
She has his temper. She has my wife has a temper, and I mean a temper. I'm not talking irritability and sarcasm. That's what attracted me to her. Yeah, for 20 years. See, you got to understand, it's how you argue determines how long you stay married. It's about communicating, understanding how your spouse communicates. It took me 2 years of marriage to figure out my wife will never tell me to do anything around our home. She wants me to do something, she'll ask me a question. From the question, I'm supposed to stand there and figure out what it is she wants me to do. Simple example. Say I leave a pair of my underwear in the middle of the bedroom floor, which frosts my wife. It's her word, not mine. I'm going to cut her off on the highway. Oh, that just frosts me. If I'm not frosting her, I'm driving her up a wall. Kids will come in, where's mom? She's up the wall with frostbite, that's all I know. You won't believe what put her there, son. It was that pair of underwear in the middle of the bedroom floor. You were looking at the most powerful pair of underwear known to mankind. They not only defy gravity, but they can change temperatures. So I leave my drawers in the middle of the room, which, by the way, is not unusual, because when I was a single man, I learned how to walk out of my underwear on the way to the shower. You get to the end, you hop right out of them, baby. And you leave them in the middle of the room for a good reason. You always have your underwear inventory at your fingertips. If there's eight on the floor, it must be four in the drawer. It's a good system. Worked for me for years. Then I got married and found out my system frosted my wife. So I leave my drawers in the middle of the room. Would my wife come to me and say to me, pick those up? Three words. Pick them. Did she say them? No, because that would be simple, direct, and right to the point.
Good morning. It is Kelly. And welcome to the show. I have got a guest here, Neil Hooks, and we've been talking about an article that was put out by Wayne Hancock and then a counter article, a response that was put out by Neil. And I'm reading this article by Wayne Hancock, and I've got to tell you that, Neil, is his opinion of capitalism seems absolutely just caustic. And so it just goes to show you the problem in a lot of these situations, I think, is the preconceptions that people wear. It makes a pair of glasses that people look through, and it filters out the things that they don't agree with or that they don't understand or or it gives them a way of justifying their beliefs. And here's one of the things he says. If some in the community rig things to make real estate more expensive because it, quote, maximizes profits, then the community is obliged to see to it that all living within the community can afford housing. And number one, that's not how capitalism works. Water seeks its own level. And the fact is that there's market factors that come in and affect things. And I'll just give you an example. If you have a place where you've decided that you've got to keep the price of housing down, and so you have the government pass a law as to what the rent can be, and you have that in New York City, you have that in San Francisco. Neil, what's the outcome of those laws?
Oh, my gosh, it just creates disaster when the government tries to force their way into the market.
But how exactly?
Well, with price controls, just like you said.
No, what's the effect? What's the disastrous effect?
Well, anytime you work against the laws, and I'm talking economic laws, not theories, of supply and demand, you're going to have a problem.
All right, we got a call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Pedro.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
Okay, would you repeat what you just said about the housing?
Yeah, all right. Here, what he said or the commentary on it? What's the question?
What was actually said.
I think he's actually talking about your comment.
No, are you talking about Wayne's statement in the paper?
Yes.
If some in the community rig things, R-I-G, in other words, if some people in the community artificially create an environment to make real estate more expensive because it, quote, maximizes profits, then the community is obliged to see to it that all living within the community can afford housing.
Okay, I wonder if this joker conversely believes whether or not the same applies as to working individuals versus non-working individuals.
That's a great question.
In other, which, of course, we know the answer to that.
Neil?
There's a lot of things that we could turn that very statement right back on this guy, but that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I agree with you, sir, but I think what the left does take that into account. The problem is they think that there is injustice in economics, not because there are people who are not motivated, who are too lazy, or there's just not any opportunity. They think that the reason people are poor is because there are evil, greedy people on the right, business owners, who are taking the money from them, essentially, for their own benefit. That's the misunderstanding in the economics.
And we understand that's their basic philosophy. But for one to come out and say something as ignorant as that just leaves the door open for criticism by people who have common sense. And, boy, I can't believe this guy is even functional.
That's
in
what,
society with that type of intellect.
Pedro, you know, you've got people coming in from outside of the community, and we've already had a discussion on this, whether that's fair or not. It's certainly fair if the people coming in are representing the values and the actual interests of the people. But if you're coming in from outside of the community and you've got a foreign set of ideas like Marxism and you place them on to the populace, there's going to be suffering.
Well, I've often held that, okay, you shouldn't have a closed community. We should welcome newcomers openly. That's no problem. I've been criticized for that very thought, and I've changed my attitude on that. We should welcome newcomers. However, the newcomers that come in, yeah, go ahead and bring your ideas, which is fine. You need to leave a room for common sense and intelligence. You need to come in not trying to press these crazy wacko ideas on everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And it's the devil's in the details, you know. I mean, what exactly you believe and how you want it applied. But if you say that it is basically the land developers or the real estate owners rigging the system to maximize profits, that is so abusive that I wonder if the business community thinks that Wayne Hancock represents them in any way, shape, or form.
Obviously not. Obviously not.
And that explains why they're spending $24 million extra over the income this year, and they need $12 million more, $14
million more. And the thing that I don't get is, what is their ultimate objective?
You tell me.
Right, I don't get it.
Pedro, it's social justice.
Yeah.
That's what his article is
about. Thanks for your stuff, Kelly.
Which is fine. Again, it's a great intent, but it just doesn't work.
Anything else, Pedro?
No, thanks a lot for talking about this stuff and exposing these people. Because that's what it's going to take, is the people to be aware of who they are and what they're saying when they get the opportunity during these meetings and so forth. Putting out, you know, remember the county commission wanted the budget to be approved, but they wouldn't release it. This is the type of mentality we have going on here right now.
Pedro, just trust them, pass it, and then look at what's in it, and that's the main thing. Don't fight
the worm.
Don't fight.
The worm will turn.
Yeah, as the great Shakespeare said, the worm is turning. Thanks a lot, Pedro. Have a good day. All right. So. Here is this idea in this article, and I'd love if Wayne came on the show. If the capitalists rigged the system to make things more expensive, there's got to be a pushback for social justice. We have another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, you didn't build that.
Thank you, Mike. That's true. I didn't build that, but here's the thing, and I think this is really, I'm probably stepping in the commentary area of Neil here, because Neil actually sat down and analyzed this thing and wrote a response. And what's the response? Number one, and people who've listened to the show before have heard Neil, have probably had the most sophisticated analysis of economics we've had presented on the show. And so I consider him somebody that actually understands the nuts and bolts. What is your response when you see that somebody who's in public office is claiming the business people here rigged the system to get maximized profits?
It's a complete and utter lack of understanding of supply and demand in the free market in a competitive industry, in a competitive market. Those forces will take care of what the so-called greedy business owner wants to do.
Get dig down so people who maybe haven't been exposed to this can understand a little bit better.
All right, let's use an example. First of all, every economic idea should be based on how it affects the poor. This is one of the misunderstandings that the left has of the right. Just because we have a policy that says we should not artificially raise the minimum wage for the poor doesn't mean that we are pro-business. We only care for the rich and we can't stand the poor. It means that we're focused primarily on the poor.
How so? I know somebody's listening and thinking, I'm working a minimum wage job. I like this show. There's certain things that I like in it. But I hear you, Neil Hooks, trying to take away the little bit of money that I make, and I'm infuriated at you. How dare you talk about defending the poor? What's your response?
And that's exactly what most people think, and it's simply a lie.
But how is it a lie? These people are busting their butt. They're getting mistreated at work. They don't have the protection of somebody who has got an actual, say, a developed profession or something. They're working in an hourly wage. You're trying to take the little bit of extra cash that they have in their pocket to pay off their phone bill.
Yeah, because the little bit of extra cash that they get through an artificial pay raise, through a minimum wage hike set by the government, essentially takes jobs away from them. Overall, it takes opportunities because of this, because capital flows based on the law of least path of resistance. If a business owner in a competitive industry who is trying to meet his budget, who's trying to keep his employees happy, and who's trying to stay competitive competitors, he's trying to juggle all these things, he has no room to abuse his employees. If McDonald's decides that they want to maximize profits and pay $1 an hour to each of their workers who are working the cash register, then the cash register simply moves over to Burger King or Taco Bell or wherever else. It does not work for the business owner to take advantage of the employee in a competitive market.
Let me interpret what you're saying. that if the government didn't make a minimum wage, the market would create a minimum wage.
Precisely.
All right. Now, if
the market created a minimum wage,
how do we know it wouldn't be $2 an hour?
It might be. It depends on what the supply and demand is. Another law that is disregarded by liberals.
How can you make it on $2 an hour, though? That's going to be the response. I mean,
you can't, but where are you making $2 an hour? Some people can't make it on $100,000 a year. Some people can't make it on $1 million a year.
I know.
You can't argue relativity.
Communist China, you make $2 an hour.
Yes. There are a lot of people. Did you know that if you're at the poverty level here in this country, you actually reside in the top quintile, the top 15-20% of world income earners? Everything is relative when it comes to money.
Neil,
what is a living wage?
Neil,
it's relative.
Part of a living wage should be cable access and high-speed internet for all.
Now, the answer is what is fair? And the most successful supplier of economic justice and human need has been capitalism in this world, period, dot, not socialism. Socialism creates – actually, let me get back to the original point I was trying to make, kind of going off in some rabbit trails here. There is a misunderstanding of the left about the right and economics. The right's focus is always on the poor. And the reason that is because whenever you change something like the minimum wage, whenever you change taxes, sure, the rich is going to be hurt to some degree. Actually, some business owners may actually go out of business if you raise taxes too much and or raise the minimum wage too much. But for the most part, the rich are never significantly impacted. The problem, though, is that you're taking capital away from the rich, and it's less capital used in the business to create more jobs, to innovate, to grow. And when you grow and you innovate, you expand, you create more product, you have more opportunity to create jobs and opportunities for the poor. So when me personally, as a conservative Republican, when I'm against the minimum wage is because of what I believe it will do to the poor. It will impact them negatively and create less opportunity. Is it going to affect me? Well, yeah, I'm going to have to pay a little bit more for my burger. I'm going to pay a little bit more. Inflation may go up. I'll be affected to some degree, but not near as much as the poor will be affected. This is the common misunderstanding of the left.
All right, folks. So we're talking here with Neil Hooks. You've got to get your blood pumping a little bit when you hear about talk about the minimum wage because it does affect people. But there's got to be, as always, I was thinking about this last night. One of the things I'm trying to do on the show is always tell the story behind the story so we can understand this stuff, kind of work through it together, understand better why things are happening without a superficial explanation that doesn't really go anywhere like economic justice, in which, you know, the rich puts his hand in his pocket and pulls the money that he stole out and gives it back to the poor. That's the view of Wayne Hancock, who considers himself right somewhere between Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas in terms of intellect, I'm guessing. Here's Alan Jackson, Midnight in Montgomery, a big hit for him in 1992. Kelly O'Connell, and we'll be back and talk to Neil,
523-1450. Midnight. Montgomery, Silver Eagle, lonely road. Was on my way to Mobile for a big New Year's Eve show. Stop for just a minute, see a friend outside of town. With my collar up, I found his name. Felt the wind die down.
Kelly here and talking to Neil Hooks about this article. Let me sum this thing up. In this article, it becomes clear that Wayne Hancock is claiming that capitalists rig the system so that they can get extra profits. And therefore, the community who represents the interests of the poor has to stand up and demand that the poor get enough money to be able to afford the artificially inflated houses. And he also puts things in there about, got another call here about to poisoning the earth and everything. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Tony.
Hey, what's up, Tony?
Hey, man, couple things. One thing on this whole issue of
hold
outsiders.
Hold on one second. This is Kelly. I'll be right back. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a little bothered by that only because I'm an American, and I can pretty much go anywhere in this country, and to be called an outsider is kind of offensive just because I was raised in Boston.
No, that's not the issue. The issue is, are you bringing in ideas that are inherently injurious to the community from outside? I mean, these people are getting educated and spending their whole lives in other communities. They're retiring, or they're reaching retirement age. They're coming here to run things like it's part of Russia. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy.
But a lot of those ideas are already here. These people are pretty much coming from the outside. You're correct, bringing these liberal ideas of social justice. They're still Americans, and they have a right to be here and voice their opinions. And all you got to do is just oppose them. I mean, who's voting these idiots in office? People from here who obviously agree with their ideas.
Well,
so the consequence here,
Tony,
are they?
Tony, how about this? They don't really run on their ideas. They don't get up there and say, I'm a socialist. Nobody is going to vote for someone who claims to be a socialist unless they live in Vermont, you know?
Which is correct, which is what politics is all about anyway. It's a bait and switch. I mean, they're going to give you this idea that they're wonderful people,
Tony,
and they're fighting
this
for you, but they have their own agenda.
Tony, how about this? How about we start doing a little bit of research on these people and holding their feet to the fire? I mean, they don't want three people to be pulled out of office downtown because they're great leaders, and yet I'm sure that they, all three of those individuals, Pedroza and Gil Sorg and Nathan, please don't call me Tiny Small, all agree with Wayne Hancock across the board on this. So where's the representation of the people?
Again, the people voted these clowns in.
I'm
That's
saying,
the representation.
Tony, I'm saying they're not
you
running.
Have to.
Tony.
Go ahead.
Tony,
yes.
I'm saying they're not running on what they believe. Once they get into office, once they have name recognition, once they have a little protection of being an incumbent, then they write these articles. But nobody's running on being a socialist because it's totally unacceptable, because people understand instinctively it doesn't work.
And then why is the liberal media here, the Sun News, why are we not vetting them before we even go? We're not asking the hard questions we need to ask to these people.
Exactly. I agree 1,000%.
And also, on this whole poverty thing, you know, being poor has changed since I was a kid growing up in the projects. And at that time, you understood the only way to get out of poverty was hard work, get a job or an education. Today,
it's glamorous.
As Neil had said, these people that are in poverty are living large, literally living large compared to people in other parts of the world.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Well, Tony, we gotta go. Anything else?
All right, man. No, we're good. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot, you too. If you called up and I put you on hold and then you dropped off, call back. But anyway, all right. So we've got one side, and I'm talking to Neil Hooks, and one side where the claim is from Wayne Hancock, an elected official here, that capitalism is basically greedy and it rigs the system to take from the poor. Therefore, the community has to stand up for the poor and make sure they get enough money to get a house, et cetera. Now, you, Neil, wrote a response to this. What was your response?
In a nutshell, we kind of covered this last hour, but in a nutshell, it was a lack of understanding of the of human nature. We're sinful by nature and require an incentive to work as hard as we can. Second of all, we have a misunderstanding of responsibility. We're responsible for ourselves primarily. We're to help those who can't help themselves, and it's to be a voluntary giving to the poor, but it's not to be forced, and you're not to work so that you can make sure everybody else eats. Last but not least, it's about freedom as well. I mean, the free market system is about freedom, and socialism is about a lack of freedom. The government's going to decide how you should spend your money, essentially.
All right, so tie that into the Bible.
All right, as far as human nature is concerned, my gosh, Romans chapter 3 is an excellent passage. There are multiple passages on human nature and
but
how we're sinful.
You're
by
talking
nature.
When you wrote your article, because Wayne Hancock cited the Bible, and we got another call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
It's Jesus.
Hey, yes, Jesus, what's up?
Yeah, you're talking about the capitalist and did you know that the stock market, that there were stocks out being sold and stuff, and that the money's made by corporations, 40% of that money used to come back, and they would use it for improvement of their corporation, for higher wages, and just to better the company. Now only 10% of that money is being used for that, and the other 30 gets skimmed off the top by the stock market, the rich people that own the stocks.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that, but you can read it
in the Week magazine. Do you get the Week?
Where do you pick up the Week?
I have a subscription to it.
And so you're saying now that these, hold on one second, I'll put you on hold. This Kelly, be right back. So you're saying is that these people who are wealthy, who are invested in the stock market, are getting even more wealthy because they're taking extra profit?
Exactly. They used to get 10%, and now they're getting 30%. And thus,
Jesus,
that money that they get is not, the corporations are not able
to put it
back into their company.
Neil's got a response.
Jesus, there has been a dramatic shift over the decades with regard to employees and market value of low-skilled workers. And there are various reasons for this. But before I get into that, look, this is the bottom line. If you are in a competitive industry, you have market forces that force the leaders of these companies to spend their money as efficiently as possible to keep their employees happy, to maintain competitive advantage, and to also make some money so that there's an incentive to run the business, obviously. If that's not there, then the government's responsibility is to ensure that there is not a monopoly in the industry. That is one of the most important issues, that the things that the government can do with regard to economics.
Jesus, I got another caller. Was there anything else?
Our government is made up of congressmen that are heavily invested in the stock market. And how would it behoove them to do better for their own people when they're making such enormous amounts of money off of them?
Well, I don't know. I got to think about this a little bit.
Harold Mayerson from the Washington Post wrote that article, if you want to research it.
All the research. What's the title of your article?
The title of it is Big Skim.
Is what?
S-K-I-M. Harold Mayerson.
I know who Myerson is, but what's the title of the article?
The Stock Market's Big Skim.
Okay, I'll look it up and talk about it tomorrow if you want to call back in tomorrow. Thank
you.
I will
do that.
Thank you very much, Jesus. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. And who's this?
It's Patty again. I think we need to distinguish crony capitalism against capitalism, and the old crones are running the show under corporate governance. And Neil's right. We cannot have just one group of people owning it all. It doesn't pay for us. We are not capitalizing off of it. To make money, there is nothing wrong with making money, is what I'm trying to say.
I agree. There's nothing wrong. I got to take a break.
And there is a difference between the crony capitalists. The crones are running the show. We need to stop funding the operation, people.
Thanks, Patty. All right, folks, we'll take a break. We'll be right back, a little bit behind on our ads. 523-1450, Colin, talking to Neil Hooks and digging into this article, the articles in the Sun News on the topic. Kelly here. We're digging down into this story and, getting some phone calls and stuff. But, all right, this is it. And Neil's like, you telling me, Neil Hooks is here with me. You mentioned this in the last hour. Well, the fact that talk radio is people listen in maybe 15-minute increments. So the people listening now are different than in the first hour. But the upshot is that And Neil is not dying. He just has developed some sort of a cough here. It's very charming. But the upshot is that you're talking about someone quoting the Bible, which is Wayne Hancock, and then coming up with a socialist answer. And I'll tell you, I wrote an article comparing socialism to the Bible, and I came up with the result that charity in the Bible is never forced, and Neil had mentioned that earlier. It's never forced, number one, and number two, charity in the Bible doesn't harm people, whereas government charity a lot of times is detrimental to the recipients. But no, we're not saying get rid of this support of the poor, the children, the orphans, the handicapped and stuff. The classic recipients of charity have to be supported, but it is this charitable, or shall we say socialistic, view of society where all business people are evil grifters that are they're greedy, and they're taking from the poor, and the community has to stand up and push back. That's the story that Wayne Hancock has written about, and Neil said that's not only is it false, but it's totally ignorant of the Bible and of the economic system. So give us the Bible's response to this issue, Neil Hooks.
Again, it's the basic core issue is human nature. And human nature will not produce unless there is an incentive. If you take away the incentive, then people simply will not produce. Now you've lost 90% of your productivity, your prosperity, your wealth that could be created. And there's not anything to go around to anybody.
Yeah. So here's an example. If you pay everybody the same amount, whether they work or not, because according to, I think, Marxism, whether people work or not, they should be paid this. They should get the same amount of support because it's community. Each individual is an element of this community that has to be supported. We have another call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly Con Show is this.
Hey, Kelly, just one thing really quick. I just wanted to say, I had a preacher that I used to listen to, and he said it's not a sin to be poor, but it's a sin to stay poor if you have the blessings of God.
Was it Creflo Dollar who was asking for a new $300 million jet? Or all right,
no, this guy is legit. He didn't take a salary for preaching or anything. He supported himself through the stock market. But, Kelly, the thing I wanted to say is, a lot going on today is this universalism is being preached in the churches where everybody's equal, everyone's the same. You know, it's called – and what does Catholicism mean? It means universal, doesn't it?
Well, that's a whole other kettle of fish, but let's get to it. Thanks for the – was it the third or the fourth call today, Mike? Anyway, they're all appreciated. Thanks a lot. Have a good day. All right. Catholic means universal, but it's a description of the – church's impression of itself, which is historically accurate, that it was the world church of Christianity, and that was up until the Reformation, although there were always offshoots like the Waldensians and the Lollards who put out their and the Moravian, I think it was the Moravian Brethren, anyway, some group of the Brethren it goes way back to, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. The Bible, I'm going to interpret what you're saying, Neil. The Bible teaches that there's such a thing as human nature. Socialism doesn't accept it. History proves that if you ignore human nature, catastrophe follows.
Absolutely, and we've seen that with the collapse of the Soviet Union, for example. It's the primary reason why the Soviet Union collapsed. Sure, Reagan increased the defense budget, and there was an arms race, and blah, blah, blah. But the effect, the reason why the Soviet Union went bankrupt was because of their socialistic economic policies.
And when you saw Stalin decide to bring in, okay, Lenin is the person who takes Marxism and applies it for the first time in history. Karl Marx didn't really have it worked out, the details. His writing was anti-capitalist. When you work out the details, you have Lenin's style of communism. It went so poorly that he had to back off of it. When Stalin comes in, he finally implements true communism, and it's the largest drop in GDP in recorded non-wartime history. It was a failure of unprecedented historic proportions. In the meantime, he's killing all the kulaks, the peasant farmers who refuse to cooperate because they're just living off the land.
Yeah, absolutely. So Yeah, as far as human nature is concerned, very clear. So if we ignore that, we're going to end up with disaster.
I didn't read your article, but I know you well enough, and I know the topic well enough to say that you're arguing that it's freedom, it's God-given freedom that mankind and womankind then use in the marketplace and decide what they're going to do. They can have a career. They can be a stay-at-home mom, which is another career. They can be a student, whatever. But you choose what you use your freedom for in the marketplace, and then that is reacted by the marketplace. They decide how much you're going to make by what the need is.
Mm-hmm.
And communism says everybody should be paid similarly because we're all equal. Like Mike was saying, this universalism, we're all equal human beings. It's not fair to differentiate based on people's talent.
It does not take long for the doctor to realize if he's getting paid the same amount as the ditch digger who didn't put in an extra 8 to 10 years of extra academics, and is not taking this increased responsibility with his job, saving lives, et cetera. It doesn't take long for that doctor to realize, my gosh, why am I wasting my time? I could spend more time with my family. I'd make the same amount of money. I'd have the same lifestyle as this ditch digger. Why don't I just get a job as a ditch digger after high school? Of course, that's what the follow-on folks are going to see and realize. Why do I need to invest so much time and energy?
Exactly. Here's a little more Alan Jackson. We're talking to Neil Hooks, who was kind enough to come on the air and battle back against Wayne Hancock's article. Wayne, I know you listen every morning while you're eating your Dunkin' Donuts, and you're more than welcome to come on the show and give your side of it. 23-1450 at 742. Kelly O'Connell Show will be right back.
And a drunk man. Cowboy took me by surprise, wearing shiny boots, a nudie suit, and honky-tonk eyes.
It's Kelly here. All right, so we were talking earlier, because I said to Neil, Neil Hooks is here, we're talking about capitalism, Wayne Hancock's article, it's apparently supporting socialism, and Neil Hooks' pushback article, which is saying, what would the Bible, since Wayne Hancock quotes the Bible, what would the Bible say about economics? What would Jesus' economic system be? All right. So as using this example earlier, when you artificially say the government needs to keep exactly what Wayne Hancock is talking about, exactly on point, when he says, listen to this, if some in the community rig things to make real estate more expensive because it, quote, maximizes profits, then the community is obliged to see to it that all living within the community can afford housing. All right, let's apply his ideas to San Francisco. Let's apply them to New York. We come in and we pass laws that rent can only be so high. What is the impact? The impact of that is housing shortages. Okay, but why? Is it because the owners of apartments are so dang greedy? Not really. The reason for that is because you disincentivize. In other words, you get rid of the reason that somebody would build an apartment or convert a house to an apartment or do whatever. You get rid of the incentive because you make it non-profitable. Now, you can force your idea of charity onto other people, but as business people, they're going to want to be in a situation where they're sure they can make it as a business if they invest in something. If you make rents artificially low, what you end up with is basically houses or apartments where people don't want to invest any money in the upkeep. They don't want to build any new ones. So instead of helping, what happens when you have a shortage is the actual price goes up, and then there's this, you've heard about these fights in New York City over these rent-controlled apartments. You create a disaster, even though it's a well-meaning disaster. You're making it impossible for cheap housing to exist other than when the government directly forces it. But the overall impact is a shortage and a catastrophic rise in rent in all non-rent controlled apartments. And then the rest of the apartments are fought over, squabbled over, And so, Anil, your response.
Yeah, what you're talking about are the laws of supply and demand. If you artificially set rent lower, not only do you take away the incentive of the person to build houses because they're not going to make as much of a – they're taking a lot of risk and they don't have a better probability of making that money back and making a profit. There's another side to it, and that's the law of supply and demand. If you freeze the rent, then you and you ignore the rest of the supply chain, i.e. where does that guy get the wood that he uses to – what electricity rates is he paying for the apartment complex? Whatever. You're denying, you're ignoring the rest of the supply chain. If you do that, unless you fix every single cost and price for everything along that supply chain that goes into building those apartments, you're going to end up with a shortage, just like you said. And if you end up with a shortage, according to the law of supply and demands, the price goes up, ironically, and the person either goes out of business or the rents have to skyrocket.
And that's the sad thing, is that, and you can apply this analysis, which is easy to understand once you kind of unfurl it, you kind of lay it out and you see what the market forces are and why things go up. But it's also sad because you see the impact of well-meaning. And I think it's a people – What if the left decided they were going to get rid of the law of gravity through the legislative process? You know, what would be the impact?
It's the exact same impact. First of all, it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't have any. They wouldn't be able to do it. Obviously, they would not be successful. And there would be, well, in this case, if you tried to get rid of the law of gravity, there would be no impact because obviously they couldn't do that at all. But if you ignore the laws of economics, it will end in disaster.
And it has ended in disaster. And just look at this one thing here. The reason they're trying to get rid of the three council people, undoubtedly find people on their own, is that they have seen them as people that follow these type of beliefs. Somebody just tried to call in and I hit the wrong button. So if you just tried to call in, call me back. Let's take a little break here. I've got a little bit more Jeff Allen for you on Health Clubs. Kelly O'Connell Show, we'll be right back.
2 years ago, she signed us up for a health club. She thought that would be fun.
Hey, who's this?
Thomas.
2 years.
Hey, Thomas, let me put you on hold, and I'll bring you on as soon as I can, okay?
It's right on the way to Cinnabon.
Can you hear me? Thomas, can you hear me?
I had to go in for an orientation.
I'll put you on hold. I'll be right back, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Hi, Jeff. I'm 2% body fat tough. Well, hi, 2%. I'm 80% mushy Jeff. And he flexed, and he went, Nautilus did that. Oh, yeah? Well, Haagen-Dazs is doing this. First question he asked me, how long has it been since I had an exercise program? Well, let me ponder that one, Toto. 48? That would make it 48 years, 9 months.
All right, folks, here's your break, and we'll be right back. I've got Thomas on the line. Thomas, about 1.5 minutes, okay?
That's fine.
All right, thanks. Kelly here, and it's been, I mean, to be totally honest, for an economic show, we've gotten a lot of response. We have Thomas here. Thomas, thank you for your patience, and what's your point?
Well, I wanted to give a little balance once again, if I may. I totally agree with the comments your guest has been making, and in particular, the issues with regard to human nature. We know human nature and what it is and its tendency to be lazy. But the same is true with regard to the human nature, and that is greed. And so there has to be interplay. My comment this morning would have to do with the fact that whether you be socialistic or capitalistic, progressive or conservative, if we could just respect each other, there needs to be interplay. We cannot take one position and go to seat on it.
It's Kelly. I'll be right back.
There's an exact and opposite reaction, and so there has to be interplay between the two. We've mentioned it before, the weaknesses of capitalism, the weaknesses of socialism, and so there are weaknesses. impulses in the human nature, one of which would be laziness, the other of which would be greed.
All right.
And so we have to address those.
All right, but there's one thing that I'd like to say. I feel like, and maybe you agree with this or not, Tom, that I feel like some people in the left believe their ideas are so superior that they never have to acknowledge anything else. And it's frustrated me over the years that I've wanted to have dialogues with people, and they act like they'd rather pull gum off of underneath the restaurant tables, you know?
I don't disagree that at times people on the left tend to be condescending, and that's unfortunate. But I don't accept it, whether it be from the left or the right.
I think,
I've said before, the one ingredient that's missing is respect.
That's true. Anything else, Tom?
That's all.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day. Thanks for holding. Who's this?
This is J.D. Rodriguez.
Hold on just a second. Yeah, go ahead, J.D.
Sierra Las Cruces and Doñana County are both entities that are including in the area of fixing up, with their municipal codes.
Can you turn down your radio?
With their municipal codes. They're trying to get people
to tidy up and
improve the properties and that sort of thing, keep them in line for the purpose of, what do you call it?
JD, can you turn down your radio?
Coming in and trying to buy.
JD, can you turn down your radio? Thanks for the call, JD. Thank you very much. Good points. All right, Neil, let's wrap her up here. We got a couple minutes.
Yeah, you know, I really appreciate Tom's call because I totally agree. There has to be respect on both sides, and that's what this is. This is just a response to Wayne Hancock's letter, a balanced response to Wayne to the issue. However, I also want to agree with Tom's comments about greed. We are naturally greedy, but that's the market forces, not the government, takes that option away from employers.
I got to ask you one thing, Neil. Is it the government's place to punish greed? I mean, I understand the government has to punish murder and theft, but how do you punish greed? How does the government find somebody and say you're greedy and we're going to punish you?
Well, you have to set an artificial level of this is how much you can make. And you shouldn't make any more. And, of course, that's a matter of opinion. There's no direct science about that. Again, you're taking away incentives. So there's all sorts of problems when you do that. But let me say this. Go ahead.
We've got another call. Hold on just a second. Yeah, go ahead.
Kelly? Thomas, just one comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's called antitrust laws. They're
right,
necessary.
Fair enough. There are laws.
Amen, exactly.
There are laws. And that's a good point. Anything else?
That's all.
Thank you. This is Kelly. Who's this?
Hi, this is Art. Real quickly, I just wanted to, I think it was Tom who said that we have to respect one another. Your guest agreed with that.
Yeah.
I would like to disagree. Let's take it to the ridiculous. I'm a pedophile, and you're not a pedophile. And I argue that what I do is okay. Why should you have to respect my perverted belief system?
Right.
If it's wrong, it's wrong, and we should all accept the fact that it's wrong. I'm done. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Okay.
No, we're respecting the individual to speak. That's all we're talking about. I'm not respecting his bad idea.
Neil, I think that he's saying, though, well, I would put these two ideas together. You put out your beliefs, and you don't let anybody criticize them, and then when you get criticized, you say it's disrespect. That's what we don't want. We want a genuine discussion. But we got about 2 minutes left. Go ahead, Neil.
Well, the last thing I want to say is just to kind of sum things up is the left is the intentions are good for the most part. I think you have to assume that the intentions of the right are the same. But when you combine benevolence, i.e. you look at an issue, you see a poor man and you say, oh, my gosh, we need to give this person money. And if you don't want to do this through big government programs, then you're an evil person. This benevolent sounding thing is very difficult to argue against. And when you combine it with ignorance of economic law that simply makes things worse for that poor person, it's very difficult to argue against. So I am all about this debate. I'm all about it staying respectful, but we need to continue this debate. People need to be more informed about what economics, what conservatives believe about economics.
Thanks for coming on, Neil. Do we get you back on again?
Absolutely, whenever.
Neil Hooks, I'm going to take you out with, I've decided to play some Eagles for the show for the rest of the week. Kelly O'Connell here signing off, and a little piano, live piano for you. Have a great day. Thanks for listening, and ciao.
Treated for suicidal tendencies several years before getting his pilot's license. More leaked details from the cockpit voice recorder purportedly show Lubitz repeatedly urged the captain to take a bathroom break, and when told to prepare for landing in Dusseldorf, Lubitz replied, "We'll see." Frank?
We have breaking news from just outside Washington, D.C. CBS TV affiliate WUSA is reporting a shooting at Fort Meade, Maryland. It says the incident began when a driver tried to ram a gate. CBS's Stephen